Wednesday, October 15th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Romans, looking at the first two verses of chapter 12, with part two of yesterday's message titled, Now Let's Talk Sanctification.
It is absolutely true you have to preach the gospel to yourself every day. It is absolutely true that you have to hear of the incredible love of God in Christ Jesus, your Lord, as the antidote to serving yourself. It's a call to let the Word fill the mind, to renew the mind in His wisdom, to then, as we take that Word, that we will be motivated to practice what is the good and acceptable will of God in the sacrifice and service of each other's faith.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
And the pastor should communicate that. It's a smiling benediction upon his people. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Do you think he's frowning? Now, all that, what does that do for us? Well, Paul says, I exhort you, brethren, therefore, what is the therefore, all that, as brothers in Christ, by the mercies of God, since all of this is not in question, I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What does that look like? I think it's helpful to first say what it's not. In the Old Testament, you know, when someone brought a sacrifice, there were all those regulations that governed it, and it required the shedding of blood, and it required all the animal sacrifices. I mean, the whole Old Testament is given to explain this for us. And this is one of the reasons I think the Psalms should be sung, because when we see them, I think we saw that this morning with Psalm 116, is the prayers of Christ himself and the cries of Christ himself. Christ's psalms become our psalms. But in Psalm 51, after David celebrates the forgiveness of sin, he says this, Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Well, we explain that, don't we? Pastor Gordon is not asking you to bring a bull, is he? That doesn't mean that we are going back to the old. We still bring sacrifices. We still very much bring sacrifices in light of the forgiveness and fulfillment. And what do those sacrifices look like? What are those sacrifices? And the very clear answer is us. Us. The response is to be so believing and trusting that you present your whole bodies as a living sacrifice. All of who you are, all your affections, all your desires, your heart, the center of you, the mind, your life has been bought with a price. You are a purchased possession. Your body is a temple of the Spirit. And therefore, since you are in union with Jesus, and since you belong to him, all of your life is his. So he says, think this way. In great gratitude, present yourselves this way as a living sacrifice, spiritual worship. That word, I think, it means service, and I think the confusion with that is often we sort of make this dichotomy and we lose the importance of Sabbath worship when we hear that. So we hear the common axiom or phrase is all of life is worship, and we can indeed worship God in all of life. We can praise God. He's not speaking of formal worship here. He indeed is speaking of, as our old confessions or catechism understood in the Heidelberg, guilt, grace, and gratitude, sin, salvation, and service. He's thinking about your service. What does that look like? Remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and of course, theme again, they're arguing about greatness, and no one would get up to get the towel and stoop down to wash the filthy feet of the disciples, but Jesus rises up. We looked at this last Sunday, and he takes this towel and he girds himself, and all of that was a sort of parabolic presentation, if you will, of the incarnation, of him leaving his seat in glory and coming and making himself nothing and going all the way to the cross and sacrificial love, taking on our humanity. That was all pictured there to wash us, to cleanse us. And then Jesus said something I didn't develop last week. Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet, for I've given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. That blessing is a pronouncement in a sense. The one is truly blessed in this life who knows and does these. Now that's an important connection for the Apostle Paul. He understood this strongly throughout all of his epistles, that when he presented the great truth of Christ in the Christological truth of the great focus, they call it a hymn, but the great Christological hymn of Philippians 2, have this mind among yourselves, which was yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality of God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Paul is thinking of the same thing in Romans 12, 1. But then he began to describe in Philippians right after that what it looks like. And it helps us with Romans 12, 1. He says this, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. That had everything to do in his mind with a Levitical priest who would take an animal and sacrifice it on the altar, but on top of that sacrifice would then be poured out what we know of as a drink offering of wine, a libation. And they would pour out the libation all over the sacrifice. When the sacrifice was made, the altar was so hot. If you've ever been to a Chinese restaurant, and you see them do this, where it all goes up in a puff of steam. It's really an amazing thing. The altar was so hot, immediately the drink offering would disappear in a great puff of steam. And it would have been a powerful thing to hear and to see. Paul's thinking about this. And then he explains it. I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith. And I'm glad and rejoice with you all. He said, I'm being poured out. I am being poured out on the sacrifice and service of your faith. My life is like a puff of steam. It's poured out with the intention of helping people in their faith. That's the kind of living sacrifice I think we could grab onto, at least we have from Scripture, comparing Scripture. We have been given so great a salvation. Whose life was poured out? Whose life was given in death so that we would live? And Paul is thinking, That's the living response I'm after. You don't have to sacrifice you're not sacrificing through blood. And so what Paul's really saying here is, I have received such good news in the gospel. You have received such good news in the gospel. Christ came. Christ laid down his life and death for me. And now our lives are poured out in sacrifice for our brethren. It's very simple. That's the aim then for the person next to you. This is what the Lord loves. He came thinking of us. And this is what he wants us to think about in his church, in his community. This is why gifts follow. Gifts are following next week. Have you ever thought of what something like hospitality accomplishes? You know, I was a young college student and had not seen much of this. And I remember it was the OPC in Eureka, and there was a family there that essentially took me in. They fed me all the time. And I saw that family gather around the table and they read the scriptures, and he was such a godly influence on me early on. So think of the sacrifice that was exhibited to help me understand the faith more, but understand the fellowship of the saints. I learned the love of the body of Christ that way. Our concern is the person next to us. Their conversion, if you know someone you think of who needs to be converted. Their walk. The help that they need. Their deliverance is a far greater thing than my life, because I've been delivered. This is the thinking he wants us to have. The love that he wants us to show. Let your love be sincere, he'll say in verse 9. The goal of the life now as a follower of Christ is to give our bodies as living sacrifices, to the end that your very life would become like that drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your brothers and sisters' faith. I think this is such an important way to think, isn't it? He calls this reasonable service, spiritual worship. It's something the Lord loves. It's wholehearted commitment to your neighbor. And I think in verse 2, he explains briefly how it's achieved. One of the detriments to it and how we can be active in it. And he says, here's how it starts. Here's how you start to achieve this kind of thinking and this kind of sacrificial, thankful life. How do we do it? How do we do it? This is the how-to. Remember what I said this morning? There are two eyes that the Lord gave us that are meant to look outside of us. Where do we look? Where do we look? And what impedes that pursuit? Well, you can look inward, and if you take the Bible's three sworn enemies, the world, the devil, and our own flesh, you can look inward and you can find an enemy. You could serve that enemy. Then you could look outward and you could embrace another enemy. And who's that? The world. Did you notice what verse 2 says? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect. How do you become a living sacrifice? There's a connection. You start down the path of becoming a servant. It's really plain. The first thing that you have to be in avoidance of, and he says so plainly, I remember Hywel Jones was preaching years ago, and he said, do you want to live a thankful Christian life? Do you want to love the Lord? Do you want to show you're grateful? And he stopped in that Welsh accent. I can't do it, and I won't try. But he said, don't love the world. Don't love the world. It's amazing what a simple Bible verse that I've read 100 times, to hear it like that, I can't get it out of my head. Don't be fashioned by the world. Don't be conformed to it. do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is of the world. Antithetical in every way are the world's principles and the things that it offers us. You can't love the world and be a living sacrifice to your neighbor. You see? You know what worldly pursuits do. They consume you. If your heart is on the world, it won't be on serving others. If your heart is on the world, it won't be on the church. If your heart is on the world and the things in the world, you will not think sacrificially about helping your neighbor. Paul's saying the Christian life is not for ourselves. And the way it begins is to stop allowing yourselves to be fashioned and patterning of your thinking on this evil present age. That's the great detriment and threat to being a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And so these are the things we worry about: clothing, riches, money, future, obsession with the body, worldly friends. To live for those things is to live for something that doesn't endure. When you're worldly, your mind is not that of a servant. It's a self-absorbing path. It's tied to its values and its system. Worldly living gratifies the self. And I think what he wants us to think about here is the love of Christ should control us. It's a love for the Father that what we do aims to glorify him, but that the way we show that we're thankful is to live on the sacrifice and service of each other's faith. Let your eyes be there. That's what he's saying, right? Let your eyes be there. So not here, not there, but here. That love is what he's calling us to. And he gives us a positive way forward in this, which will be unpacked in the rest of the chapter. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may test and discern what is the will of God, what is the perfect and acceptable will. Instead of loving the world, let yourselves, present tense here, be continuously transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is what the Lord desires of us. What he's saying is when the mind is governed and the mind is continuously transformed with the gospel, that's the great emphasis here, you are refreshed and you're growing in such a way that your minds are continually transformed, and then we're off ourselves. Now, isn't that the sort of tie to everything this morning of Christ's sacrificial love for us? How do we get our eyes off of ourselves or the world? Look at the sacrificial love of Christ for you constantly. It is absolutely true you have to preach the gospel to yourself every day. It is absolutely true you have to hear that gospel every week and on Sunday. It is absolutely true that you have to hear of the incredible love of God in Christ Jesus, your Lord, as the antidote to serving yourself. It's a call to let the word fill the mind, to renew the mind in his wisdom, to then, as we take that word, that we will be motivated to practice what is the good and acceptable will of God. And that will is captured right here. It's not a mystery that we can't figure out. The will is exactly right here in the sacrifice and service of each other's faith. It's a very simple Christian life. I think that's what I love about it. We're always trying to figure it out, but it's very simple. To love your brethren, that's why the next verses give such attention to thinking about how you use your very gifts that God has given you to do this. And when you see, beloved, how wonderful the grace of God has been to you, steady, faithful, again, not under condemnation is he saying these things to you. He's saying these things to you as children, loved, forgiven, and set free by the blood of Christ. it becomes a sweet thing, a happy thing, a most fulfilling thing. Stop looking inward and over there, but to serve your brethren. You know this. Doing these kind of works that serve one another is a fulfilling blessing that the Lord gives us. You are a content and happy person in doing these things. You know that. When we finally have eyes off us and we're caring for our neighbor, there's great blessing. And it's not like we're doing it for that, but there's great blessing in it because it's the most fulfilling action, for this is what God has set you apart now to pursue. I said this morning, that's greatness. See how it all ties together? Greatness, when we look at our Lord and think about his sacrifice, and constantly set it before us and see his greatness, that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Now I get to go out and present my very body as a living sacrifice. I close with this thought. B.B. Warfield, in the great Philippians 2 passage, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who made himself nothing. He titled his sermon on that, Imitating the Incarnation. That would make people nervous today. Imitate the Incarnation. This is how we live thankfully for all that the Lord has said and done for us. And may you be blessed in loving your brethren this way. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for your word to us and encouragement tonight. We are so grateful to be called to this noble path. But we are so weak. We love the world. We look inwardly and serve ourselves. So many things distract us. And we need your help by your Spirit to be discerning, to have our minds renewed, that we might think more and more about our own lives being poured out on the sacrifice and service of each other's faith. Help us to do so as your children. And thank you for the redeeming love we have heard about in Christ Jesus, our Lord, this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, that's all the time we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're glad that you've joined us, and we hope to see you back next time as we continue our study in the book of Romans. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.